News for Health presents To Your Good Health Radio. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and Dr. David Friedman.
Our next guest is a licensed psychologist, counselor, marriage, and family therapist with 2 decades of clinical training and experience. Her latest book is called Loving Yourself, which teaches the mastery of being your own person. Welcome to the show, Dr. Sherry Campbell. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Dr. Campbell, hi. Welcome to the show. I'm hugging myself
Thank you.
Now. You can't see it, but I've got a big hug. I'm wrapping it around myself, so I'm prepped for
this. Oh, I love it. I'm hugging you, too.
I wish I had a mirror. I would kiss it. I would kiss the mirror right now just to show you that I'm loving myself.
As you should. Good.
Now, so the name of the book, Love You. So share why that's important. Why should we love ourselves?
Well, because every good positive relationship we have is going to be born out of our own love or like for ourselves. You know, so if we're not loving ourselves, it's not going to make it that easy for other people to love us or for us to love them.
You know, and that brings up a good point. You know, we love our family, our pets, our friends, but it's so hard to love ourselves sometimes. We're so critical about who we are, sometimes to a point of self-loathing. People just need to break that.
They do. I mean, I think that we are much harder on ourselves than we are on other people. I mean, I don't think there's anyone that abuses us more than we abuse ourselves. And that inner dialogue is something that we just really have to change, because we take those beliefs out into the world, and what we find is that the attitude we hold about ourselves is typically the attitude other people hold about us as well.
That's true. Now, you know, if a person gets 10 compliments and one negative statement about themselves, the compliment, what happens is that they tend to goes in one ear and out the other, and they focus on the bad. Why is that?
It's very easy to believe negatively. It actually takes zero effort. I think it's actually our natural thing if we don't want to do any work. You know, that's why there's all these books on positive thinking. You don't see anything on negative thinking, because negative thinking doesn't require any work. You know, so we focus on that one thing rather than all the compliments we got, because it's easier, and it makes us feel not good enough, which puts us into a certain amount of, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? And then we can get really stuck there, when really, if you love you, it doesn't matter what other people think about you.
That's true. So share with the listeners, give us a couple tips that will allow them to start their journey of loving themselves today. Besides kissing a mirror, what can they do?
Well, they can hug and kiss a mirror. But what they should do is look at the negative and self-defeating thoughts that they have. And I think they need to catch them, check them, and change them. Because ultimately, no one can stop you but you. And no one can interfere in your greatness but you. And that should not be an option. So you have to really force your thoughts into seeing the good, into being grateful, into looking at the positive things about yourself and acting out more of those things. We can get a lot of attention for our negative thoughts and being a victim, but it doesn't get us to grow. So I think that the best way to do this is really just start focusing on your thinking and thinking yourself into a more positive place, imaging who you want to be or what better version of yourself could you be, and start to live those qualities out. But it takes a lot of work. You've got to be consciously loving yourself.
Right. And, you know, you bring one sentence up, you know, in your book that really, I think, sums it all up. You say that pain is an opportunity to grow. How can we embrace pain, which so many of us have, and use it as a stepping stone to something better?
You know, on the other side of fear is sort of everything that we want, you know, and I think that pain is that one thing that we get to have as a gift, because on the other side of that is opportunity. I think that the emotions are like little teachers, and when we're in them, we've got to learn, you know, what do we need to do differently so we don't end up in this place. And those are all the things that get you moving forward. Pain is not here to stop you. I mean, ultimately, our problems are not bigger than our power to overcome them. You know, stuff may slow us down temporarily, but they can't permanently stop us unless we let them. So I think we have to deal with what's uncomfortable and unchangeable, and then find new ways up that mountain and around our problems.
Yeah, one thing I like is if you look at how bones heal, when a bone breaks, it heals. It's pain. You break a bone, it's painful. But when it heals, it comes back 10 times stronger. You have more calcium laid down. In fact, you're more likely to injure a bone that has never been through a trauma than you are to re-injure a bone that has healed and made a comeback. And I think that's what life's like. I think when we heal, we make a comeback, and we can use that break to lay down more strength, more scar tissue, more bone structure, so we don't get injured again, and we learn from that mistake, so we don't ride a skateboard in our 50s and fall and break a bone again.
You know what? That's a brilliant metaphor, and it's so very true. I mean, once you've learned a lesson emotionally, you have a much stronger foundation there where, A, you set boundaries around how you got hurt in the first place. You just don't let it happen again, just like you wouldn't go on the skateboard. And
right. You
are more resilient. You know, that bone that you talk about got more resilient. And so each pain that you go through is an opportunity to become resilient.
Right. Makes sense. Do you believe in positive affirmations? You say we have that inner voice that's negative, negative. Do you believe in just saying out loud affirmations? I love myself. I'm successful. I'm going to be, I'm going to amount to something big, and bigger things are in my future.
100%. I think I am statements are defining. And I think that, even with my daughter, I will have her repeat after me. I am great. You know, I am beautiful. No one can stop me but me. And I teach my daughter this now from a young age. And, yeah, those affirmations are extremely helpful, but you've got to live them. You can't just say them and repeat them and have them, all of a sudden make a profound difference. If you're going to tell yourself that you're great, then you need to go live that greatness. You've got to put it into a verb and live it in an action-oriented way.
It's interesting. A lot of people are so self-conscious about how they look. And there's a lady I know that's on a 1 to tail, a 10, you'd probably think she was a 3 on looks, but she thinks she's a 10. She thinks she is the cat's meow. And she dates the most nice-looking, muscularly fit, handsome men. And people wonder, how does she date people? Because in her mind, she's put herself on this pedestal. It's all about loving herself. And because she's opened that up, she achieves bigger and better things than if she said, I'm overweight, or I've got this, blemish and so forth. So, I think she's a big example of looking in the mirror and saying, hey, I'm great.
She is. And I'll tell you what, we're much more attracted to someone's energy at the end of the day than what they look like. And some of the most beautiful people I have in my private practice are the most insecure and single. And my other ones that are just sort of your average, beauty person, but they are confident in themselves, and that's really sexy. And it's very appealing to other people. And they get the jobs they want, the opportunities they want, the men they want, the women they want. And it has so much to do with who you are internally. I mean, it is really, or you can be around a really attractive person, they open their mouth, and you're like, oh my God, it's just all
Bingo.
About you.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're not attracted anymore. You'd much rather date someone who's less beautiful. That makes you feel good.
And it's true. I think there's a difference between loving yourself and being egotistical. I think that draws that
fundamentally
line.
Fundamentally different.
Yeah, I like to go to like a doctor. I want him to be egotistical a little bit and believe in himself, but not be arrogant. So I want him to believe that he's the best surgeon. And when he's putting his knife in me, that's the attitude. Then him being uncertain about his abilities.
Yeah, the way that I differentiate that is if you're narcissistic or you're self-centered, but if you're loving yourself, you're centered on yourself. I just think they're different. If you're centered on yourself, you're centered on becoming the best you can be. If you're self-centered, you can't get your face out of the mirror. Center on yourself, you want to be centered within yourself, that you're okay in yourself. It's not about getting anything from the external world to validate you and give you supply on your greatness all the time.
See,
that's a perfect end to closing. It is just absolutely perfect. And thank you so much, Dr. Campbell. Really, really great information. And for more information on Dr. Sherry Campbell or to purchase her latest book, Loving Yourself, go to SherryCampbellPhD.com. That's SherryCampbellPhD.com. You can follow us at Dr. David Friedman. And if you miss any of the great information, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at ToYourGoodHealthRadio.com. As always, this is Melanie Cole with Dr. David Friedman. Thanks for listening. Stay well and stay tuned.